Verse again. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Now, who were the Herodians? The Herodians were the political party of Herod. This sounds a little bit like Israeli lobbying in Washington today, doesn't it, to get what you want? The Jews use the same tactics today. Later we'll see what they did in the book of Acts. It's going to surprise you. Methods are exactly the same. Okay, so Jesus withdrew himself. All right, now let's go back to Matthew, the 12th chapter, verses 22 through 24. Matthew 12. Matthew 12 and verse, let's pick it up in verse 20 so we get the story flow. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of the mighty works were done because they repented not. Woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe unto you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which had been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, and of course those are the people that the Jews hate even to this very day, see? They would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable. Just not my... Oh, it says chapter 12 over my book because the very last two verses in the lower right-hand corner of chapter 12. Sorry about that. Okay. Verse 22, chapter 11. Thank you. So we have diligent Bible studiers here. They catch me in all these mistakes. Thank you. I say to you, it'll be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, you shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in you had been done in Sodom, it should have remained until this day. And I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Now you cannot get any more greater of an insult. I mean, it would be like going to the Jewish political gathering today and insulting them. They would rise up in wrath and get rid of you. Write articles. Get the government against you. And is that not what they did with Jesus? Okay, now let's go to chapter 12 and verse 22. Then was brought to him one possessed of a demon, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is this not the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. And we will see as we go along that the encounter got more intense and more ferocious and more mindset as we go along. Verse 34. He says here, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Yes, we covered that previously. Now, verse 41. The men of Jonah shall rise in the judgment with this generation, shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. You see, Jesus is making some pretty powerful claims to these Jews. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came forth from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, now notice the implication that is being given here. Talking to the scribes and Pharisees. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through the dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then it says, I will return into my house from where I came. And when he has come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. And then goes he and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. They enter in and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. And he's also telling you from whence their religion came from. And I submit, when I look back at our experience in worldwide, whenever we came up against prominent Jews, all they did was destroy. And all they did was take. And, you know, that can be pretty well documented. All right, Let's go on. Luke 7 and verse 30. Luke 7 and verse 30. Sometimes you have to pull out and isolate these verses so that we get the attitude and feeling of the Pharisees and so forth. And this is when he was talking about John the Baptist and so forth. Verse 28, Luke 7. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he which is least in the kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God rather, is greater than he. And all the people that heard it, and the publicans, justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, not being baptized of him. So they couldn't take it. John was saying, you generation of vipers, you coming out here to be baptized? I ain't baptizing you. They weren't baptized. Luke 7 and verse 30. Now, Luke 7 and verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. You know the whole account there. I'll just summarize it. He didn't say, Simon, now this is wonderful. Oh, this is nice food. Oh, this is great. No, there came in the woman who was a sinner, washed his feet with her tears, anointed his feet with the alabaster box of ointment. And Simon said in his heart, well, if he were a prophet, he would know that this woman was a sinner. So then Jesus said, Simon, I want to ask you a question. You know the question about the forgiveness? One owed him 500, one owed him just a few pence. He forgave both of them, which will love him most? And he said, well, I think the one that was forgiven the most. He said, Simon, you've answered correctly. And he says, I tell you, Simon, I came into your house, you didn't wash my feet, you didn't take care of me, but this woman did, and her sins, which are many, are forgiven. She, go your way in peace. Now, can you imagine what that Pharisee was thinking with this? Jesus insulted him, corrected him, after he had been invited to dinner. Now, if you read in Whose Book of Etiquette, how to treat your guests, that's not how to treat your host or your guest, see? Right? When you go to someone's house, you don't say anything against the host. You always praise their food, though it's burned. You always tell them how delicious it is, though you choke on it. Okay? Jesus didn't. Just get the understanding what's going on. Let's go to chapter 5 of the book of John. John 5. John 5, this is the healing of the man by the pool. John 5 and verse 15, that's after Jesus told him that he had healed him. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him whole. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father works hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, that is in their estimation, but said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And in the book of John, as we saw with the series of John, the gospel written by the apostle of love, there were an awful lot of confrontations and some very nasty sayings. Let's go over here to verse 37. And the Father himself has sent me and is borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape, and you have not his word abiding in you. So please understand, and let's make it absolutely clear. Judaism, Pharisaism, Talmudism does not have the words of God abiding in them here, referring to even the Old Testament. they refer to it because there they derive their authority. Once they establish their authority, they go on and do their own teachings and their own thing and their own traditions. Jesus said, you don't have his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, him you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. But you will not come to me that you might have life. And I receive not the honor from men. But I know you that you have not the love of God in you. Strong, disastrous, attacking words, right? You could tell that to a Jew today and you might have the JDL throw a bomb on your porch for anti-Semitism. You might read this book about anti-Semitism. It's a thing that has been created by the Jews so that they can control press, movies, books, people, politicians. Don't believe it. Just view the scenery today. Verse 43 now, John 5. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another come in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Now those are strong sayings, aren't they? Very strong sayings. Let's go on. Mark 7. Here's a very critical chapter. Mark 7. Very important for us to really grasp the heart and core of what it's saying in its meaning, not the technical terminology of whether to eat clean or unclean meats. That's not the subject here. What I want to focus in on is the attitude of Pharisaism in relationship to Jesus Christ. Pharisaism and Judaism are, still are today, have been anti-Christ. That's why when people talk about Judeo-Christian religion, there is no such an animal. Then came together unto him, verse 1, the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they washed their hands often, and the margin has diligently in the original with the fist, they do not eat, holding the tradition of the elders. I want to emphasize tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, that is to observe, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do not your disciples walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And he said unto them, oh, I'll explain this to you very nicely. No, he said, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, now I'll tell you one thing, if you want to really get into an argument in a fight, you get into it. If you've ever been in an argument or a fight, I'm sure you have, and you point your finger at someone and say, you're a lying hypocrite, I guarantee that's not going to be a sweet ending. I guarantee it's going to be more adamant, more hostile, isn't it? Yes. See, because the truth is, this was not a fight against Jesus and the Pharisees, man to man. The truth is, this was the fight of the Son of God against the sons of the devil. Now we'll see that a little bit later. Well, as Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is from me. Howbeit in vain do you worship me. That is uselessness, faulty, wrong. Okay, in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God. Now, isn't that what we read here, what the Pharisees did from their own Jewish encyclopedia? They set aside the words of God so they can what? Have their own interpretation or traditions. That's what Jesus said. You make null the commandment of God. You hold the tradition of men, such as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. Judaism is based upon tradition. Tradition existed even during the days of Jesus. It was not wholly compiled into its modern form until it was in Babylon some 200 years after Jesus, when that was one of the safe havens for the Jews. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoso curses father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, dedicated to the temple, by the way, by whatsoever you may have been profited by me, he shall be free from his obligation to take care of his father and mother. That is the sum of the thought there. And you do not permit him any longer to do anything for his father or mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. Now that is about as strong a condemnation as you could get. Imagine, if any one of the ministers of God were to march into an assembly of the bishops of America and walk up there as guest speaker and stand there and tell them these things, or to the convention of rabbis and tell them these things, can you imagine what a wild time he would have getting out alive? But that's what Jesus was doing here, see. He was making it clear. Now let's go to John the 7th chapter. John 7. Again, and this intensifies all the way through. John 7 and verse 1. And after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he could no more walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. And we know the account about the Feast of Tabernacles, so we'll go into that. That's not my purpose at this time. Let's come down here to verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but he which sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaks of himself seeks his own glory. That eliminates a lot of televangelists today, doesn't it? But he that seeks his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness in him. Did not Moses give you the law? True? Yes or no? Yes, he did. And yet none of you keep the law. Why? They rejected the law, as we read, keeping their traditions. Why do you go about seeking to kill me? And the people answered and said, you have a devil. Who's going about to kill you? And isn't that the same derision that is used today? If you try and say something about some of the religious practices, well, who are you? Who do you think you are? You must be demon-possessed. So they accused Jesus of what? Being born of fornication, as we will see. Following Baal-zebub. Blaspheming God. They accused him of being demon-possessed. Is that not Antichrist? It's got to be. Got to be. Okay? Let's go to chapter 8. Chapter 8 and verse 19. Then he said to them, then they said to him, rather, where is your father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my father, for if you had known me, then you should have also known my father. And these words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his time was not come. Then let's come down here to, we'll finish all the way through so we can get the thought here. Then Jesus said again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself because he said, where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. And I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. Now we know the account as we go along. Jesus told him, I've told you who I am. Let's come down here to verse 28. Then said Jesus to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. And as he spoke these words, many believed on him. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How say you, you shall be made free? Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin, or the slave of sin. And the servant abides not in a house forever, but the son abides forever. He's telling them, you're going to be evicted out of your land and your home. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, even the ones that believed on him. Now think of that. Because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father. You do that which you have seen with your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You do the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And the Talmud said that he was conceived during a menstrual time too, by the way. And more blasphemous things of Jesus are in the Talmud than I care to bring in and read here in the church. I'll give you some references. You can read some of those. Jesus said to them, verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, and neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words. And why can they not hear his words? You are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you do not believe me? He that is of God hears God's word. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. What is the sum of all of this? Jews who follow Judaism are not of God. Jesus clearly said so. Then answered the Jews and said to him, didn't we say well that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Well, then you know the rest of the account. He ended up by telling them before Abraham was, verse 58, I am. Now verse 59, then they took up stones to cast at him. Seems to be a good supply of stones still in Judea, doesn't there? But Jesus hid himself and went out through the temple, going through the midst, and passed by them. Strong. Okay? Chapter 9 and verse 16. Chapter 9 and verse 16. This is the account when the blind man who Jesus gave sight to was testifying to the Pharisees. Therefore, verse 16 of John 9, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. Do the Jews believe that to this day? Yes. This man is not of God because he keeps not the Sabbath day. Let's go to verses 40 and 41. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remains. And what did Jesus say? You will die in your sins because you believe not on me and on him who sent me. Chapter 10, verse 31. After he said, I and my Father are one, then the Jews took up stones to stone him. You know the rest of the account there. They said, you're blaspheming because you say you're the Son of God. Chapter 11 and verse 46. This is after the raising of Lazarus from the dead. John 11 and verse 46. But some of them, and I'm going to insert spies and tattletales, went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things had Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council. Isn't it interesting that today the Jews always have some sort of council? They always have some sort of group that they always go to? Always? That's incredible, isn't it? And said, What are we going to do? For this man has done many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and the nation. And one of them, being named Caiaphas, the high priest that year, said unto them, You know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. Now what did Jesus say? He who seeks to save his life shall lose it. Did not the Jews lose their nation? Yes, they did. And this he spoke not of himself, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God which are scattered abroad. From that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Now let's go on to Matthew 23, and read the whole account there in Matthew 23. I want to cover just one thing here, which we will come back in a little more detail later on. Matthew 23 and verse 1. Jesus spoke to the multitude and his disciples, saying, The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Now, a lot of people refer back to that saying they still sit in Moses' seat. I would have to say that this refers to only when they are reading the scriptures. Could not mean anything else after he called them the sons of the devil, the followers of Satan, you know, so forth. He said, Whatsoever they bid you to observe, observe to do, but do not after their works, for they say and they do not. And to me, that's the only way you can reconcile the scriptures together. It would only be when they're reading out of the scriptures, the sitting in the seat of Moses, or actually reading the scriptures of Moses, that they have that authority. Because he said they don't have authority to do anything else. Okay? Now, let's come down here to verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so you outwardly also appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisies and iniquities. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore you are witnesses unto yourself that you are the children of them which killed the prophets, and fill up then the measure of your fathers. You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Boy, those are strong, strong words. Now, I've preached some tough sermons once in a while, but never like that. I mean, never like that. Verse 34, wherefore, behold, I send to you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify. Some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. We'll see that in the book of Acts and also some of the other histories of the Jews' attitude toward the Christians. That upon you may come the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Zacharias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say to you, all these things shall come upon this generation. That's tough. And it did come upon that generation. If you want to know how bad it came, just read some of the history of Josephus and what happened. It was gruesome and awful. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that killed the prophets and stoned them which were sent unto you, how often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And I'll tell you one thing, the Jews today have not yet said that. Now let's go to Matthew 27 and verse 25. And this will help explain some of the Jewish problems today in their Antichrist attitude and why they have gone through so many things and why these things have occurred in every nation wherever the Jews have been gathered. And I'll have to give you some reference for some other books. I remember reading in one magazine put out by, J.R. Church, how he had in there a writing of a Jewish rabbi in 1932, warning the Jews they better change because they were going to have God's hand raised up against them. And that was really something. I couldn't believe it when I read that, but it was really just astounding. But here is part of the problem that the Jews have today. And it cannot be denied. They don't like anyone to say this to them. They don't like the Catholics to say, you are the people that crucified Jesus. See? But it is true. Matthew 27 and verse 25. And the governor said, when they were saying, crucify Jesus, let him be crucified. The governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, a riot, that's a tumult, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. Then answered all the people at the instigation of who? The priests and the Pharisees and the scribes. They said, his blood be upon us and upon our children. And it is to this very day. And until the Jews repent of that attitude, until the Jews throw away their traditions, until they get away from their Antichrist attitude and stance, that is going to happen time and time and time again. When you couple that together with what we'll read a little bit next time of what they do in every society where they go, and eventually it ends up that you must do something about the Jewish problem to get rid of them and their control, or the nation is destroyed. I submit, how close are we to destruction because of the Jews taking over financially in America, educationally in America, philosophically in America? We're closer and closer to destruction. And wait till you read some of the things in this book here. It'll just make your hair stand on end. We are right there. Wait till you read what Benjamin Franklin had to say about letting the Jews take over. And it's going to be something. I think we have discounted the Jewish problem in the rise of one worldism. And we have viewed, since some of the Jews are back in Palestine, that everything's hunky-dory. No. No, they will be a, not the, a major factor in the rising of the Antichrist. Because they are of themselves Antichrist. Now, wherever a Jew has repented and accepted Jesus, then that's a different story. But they, at that point, have to get rid of all of their traditions and get rid of all of the presumptuousness that they have of coming to come and teach Christians how they ought to live. Okay, well, that's how Jesus got along with the Jews and what they were. They were of their father, the devil. They took upon themselves and their children the blood of Jesus Christ. We'll read a little bit more later, and we'll see next week how that the Jews are the only people of the tribes of Israel that have a double curse upon them. They're prophesied right in the book of Ezekiel and Isaiah. And that's tough. I feel sorry for the Jews. We can't change it. We didn't make it that way. I'm not anti-Jewish. But I'm anti-Godism. That's what I'm against, whether it be of Jews or Catholics or whatever. Okay, we'll pick it up next time.